I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about forces that form your future. Forces that form your future. Now, this is something that the Lord's been dealing with my heart about, and I've just learned over the years that the best thing I can do is minister out of what God is speaking to me. So I want to talk about forces that form your future. And I want to start with just one small verse to kind of set this topic. And it's found in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy 29 and in verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. If you have a Bible, you can open it there. If not, we'll have it on the screen for you. And here's what it says. The secret things, everybody say secret things, belong to the Lord our God. You don't have to say all that part, but but the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. I'm going to say that one more time. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. We know that it has power to change and transform those who hear it, Father. But Lord, we ask that we would not just be hearers of your word today, but that we would be doers, that we would grab it with our spiritual ears and walk it out in with our spiritual heart, that we would chew on it this week, that we would allow it to change and transform us and do what it is that you have set it forth to do. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. So we have secret things and we have revealed things. So let me describe to you for a second what I believe secret things are. I think sometimes in our life, the secret things are unplanned events that hit suddenly. How many of you have ever had a suddenly unplanned event? Come on. Something you weren't expecting. You can't even rationalize why it's here or how it happened. Maybe, unfortunately, it was an unexpected tragedy that disrupted normalcy in your life. An unavoidable hardship that really shook your foundation to its core, or a loss that, man, it's just a mystery of why it happened, right? Like you weren't expecting it. And these moments can knock the wind out of us, if you will, and leaving us begging the question, why? How many of you have had that question? Why? Why did this happen? How did this come about? Why did this situation? But what I'm seeing from the scripture is that power comes from realizing that I don't have to know why, I only have to know who. Trusting God with the mystery is what makes room for peace beyond our understanding. If you walk with God for any length of time, you will understand that sometimes you will never receive an answer on this side of heaven as to why it happened, how it transpired, and you just have to resolve that even though I don't understand it all, I trust the one who holds it all. And if I gotta have to have a conversation with God when I walk through the gates of heaven and have him answer some question, then that's what I'll do, right? But on this side of heaven, I have to trust the God who holds it all and understands it all, even when I don't. Why? Because that's what makes room for peace beyond our understanding. I tried to think of an illustration to help us walk through that, and the best thing I could think of is if you just close your eyes for a second and just imagine you are sitting across the table from God. Now, don't get too caught up on what he looks like and just hang with me for a minute. I'm not asking you to draw anything, right? But on the table between you and God is a small pile of green chips, just a few green poker chips, if you will. And these green poker chips represent the secret things. God's domain, unexpected mysteries, unresolved situations. And then beside that is a larger pile of red chips, pretty substantial. These are the revealed things that represents your responsibility. Now imagine in this scenario, if you will, that God begins to take those green chips and pull them towards himself and says, trust me with these. These belong to me. And he takes his hand and slides the red chips over to you. These are the things that you understand that have been revealed to you. These are for you. These govern your life with what I've revealed. Now come back into the room with me. There are some things that God said, these belong to me. I won't answer. You won't get a resolution on this side of heaven. Because this and these things require you to trust me even when you don't understand. I didn't mean to go so deep so early in the sermon this morning, because it's easy to trust God when it's been revealed, when we understand, when we can see it all played out and mapped out. But what God's asking us to do is trust him with what we don't understand, but lean in to what we do understand. He's given us everything we need to move forward in life. And I'm saying all this because some people will hang on to the few green chips and say, I can't move forward because of that green chip, because of that circumstance, because of that trial, because I don't understand why they went home. Because of all of that, I can't move forward. And God's saying, will you trust me with the mysteries, but will you cling to what's been revealed to you? Because I've given you everything that you need to move forward in victory in your life. This scripture is really a call for emotional maturity and spiritual trust. Don't spend your life wrestling green chips away from the hand of God. How much energy do we try wrestling something out of the hand of God? Listen, you're not responsible for what you've never understood, what you don't understand. You're only responsible for how you respond. God, I don't understand that, and I'm not responsible to understand that, but I am responsible for how I respond. So we understand what the mysteries or the hidden things are. But let me give you a real quick picture of what the revealed things are. The revealed things are principles in God's word that are unchanging. Wisdom passed down through mentors and parents and teachers and scripture. Truths that are discovered and birthed through prayer and teaching and personal study. Reveal some certain things that God has laid out for us to move forward. They're not meant to be mysterious, but they're practical, they're biblical, and they're powerful to build a blessed life. When we apply the revealed things, it will produce supernatural outcomes. Amen? How many of you know you have power to rename situations, reframe perspectives? You have the ability to flip the script on what was meant to harm you. Like again, you may not understand it all and quit trying to wrestle that understanding out of the hand of God. But what you do have revealed to you is that the Bible says that the righteous are never forsaken and never begging for bread. That's been revealed to you. The Bible says that, you know, 1,000 can fall at my left hand and 10,000 at my right, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. That's been revealed to you, right? So we have, just like Joseph, you know, all that he walked through in his life was meant for evil, but God turned it for his good. What I want us to see today is you are not helpless and you are not hopeless, but you have been authorized by heaven to define the outcome of your life. Going to walk away with anything, that's what I want you to know. You have been authorized from heaven to define the outcome of your life. What others call a curse, you call a classroom. What others label as a loss, come on, you have a spirit of faith, so you label that thing as a lesson. Your future doesn't happen to you, but it happens through you. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're shouting right now, but I'm gonna keep on going. I know it's been a few weeks, but come on, church. You don't need your environment to change. Come on. You need to step up in the spirit of faith and tell your environment that this is the word of the Lord. Come on. You are no longer a victim of your circumstance. You are a victor. Why? Because that's been revealed to you. But I don't understand why the circumstance happened. Not your problem. Those are the mysteries. Those are the hidden things. But what has been revealed to you is that you are more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus who loves you. So what I'm saying is, instead of getting so caught up and trying to wrestle the mysteries out of the hand of God that God says do not belong to you, I'm trying to teach us to lean in. Move your life forward by leaning into what God has already revealed to you. Come on. So you're not a victim of circumstance. But let's let the rubber meet the road here. We are a product of our choices. I'm gonna say that to you again. You're not a product of what anyone else has done to you. You're not a product of the abandonment. You're not a product of hurt feelings. You're not a product of the layoff. You're not a product of the social class that you were born into. You're not a product of your education. You are a direct product of the decisions and choices you individually have made. Where you are right now is a direct result of yesterday's decisions. Are you tracking along with me today? Where you're going to be tomorrow will depend on the decisions that you make today. I'm trying to bring us out of victimhood and lead us into maturity in Christ. Because victimhood looks at the green chips and says, but I don't understand. Why? Why? I don't understand. And God says, I've revealed to you what you need to frame your future and live victoriously. Get your eyes off the green chips, trust that I'm God, and start fixing your eyes on the decisions that you can make to move your life forward. I'm here to preach to somebody who has felt stuck. I'm here to preach to a church that says, you know what? We're not a victim of our culture. Come on. We are called to be like the New Testament church, that we turn our cities upside down because of what's been revealed to us. There was a whole lot that the disciples didn't understand. There was a whole lot that they couldn't explain. You try being one of the 120 in the upper room who spoke in tongues for the first time. Come on, it's been 2,000 years and you're still ashamed to do it in front of your unsaved family members. You're still quiet about it in church. You try being in the upper room with the power of God falling on in front of you and 3,000 souls listening to you and saying that you are drunk. Come on, they didn't understand any of that. But what happened? Peter stood up and he preached the gospel with boldness and with faith and without any timidity. Why? Because he leaned into what he could understand, that Jesus was alive and he died and we watched him rise from the grave and he said that something was coming and I can't explain it all, but this is that. This is what was revealed to us. This is what God promised to us. Come on, they could have played victim because, you know, who's going to believe that Jesus was dead and now he's alive and we saw him go up into heaven, but who's going to believe it? God, why? Couldn't you record it? Can't you just reenact it? Can't you just walk behind us and just tell everybody that this is? They can't understand all of that. Yeah, Peter just processing through his own shame of denying Jesus. The trauma of one of the 12, Judas, betraying Jesus and taking, they're still reeling from all of that. And what I'm saying is most in the American church today would never move beyond it because we don't understand. And what I'm saying is he said there are some mysteries that are hidden because they belong to God. But as long as you stay in that place, seeking what God said belongs to him and him alone, you will never lean into the power of what God has already revealed to you. So we have a choice. Every choice creates future. Every choice creates your future. Every word, every action, every decision plants a seed. Remember what your Bible says, that God will not be mocked. What a man sows, he won't be mocked. What he sows, he will reap. Can I tell you something? I believe 99% of the problems in our life are not because God's trying to teach us something. It's not a part of God's bigger plan, and it's not the devil. I am so sick in the charismatic church. Well, it's the devil. The devil's been after me all week. The devil is not after you all week. He did not, conspire with PPNL to have your electric shut off. You made a decision not to pay the bill, and they made a decision to shut you off. Are you with me? Well, they're laying me off. I'm just being persecuted. You're not being persecuted. You've had a terrible attitude and a terrible job performance record over the last 6 months. It's no surprise to anybody but you. And now you're spending the next 6 months walking around the mountain of why? Why? Listen to me. 99.9% of what's happening in our life is a direct result of the seeds that we have sown. We came to work with a bad attitude. We gave it half-hearted, but here's what was revealed in Scripture. Do it as unto the Lord. Now, we choose to ignore what was revealed to us, operate out of our own flesh, and when we've sown those seeds, we are shocked when we reap a harvest. Here's what I found in life is that oftentimes God has forgiven me because I've asked for forgiveness, but I've already sown seeds that are growing in the soil of my life. Now, I have a whole message I can preach on that, how God will cover you and God will root up those seeds, come on, by an action of faith. We don't have time to get there. But what I'm saying is if we just look at every decision as a building block for our future, I believe we will see less problems, have less headaches, be more solid in our faith, have more of the peace of God. We talked a few weeks ago on the live, but there's a scripture that says, they sowed into the wind and reaped the whirlwind. They sow into the wind and they reap the whirlwind. And we talked about sowing into the drama of it all and those who crave the drama. And then when the drama shows up, they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know why. Everyone's just against me. You set the whole thing up single-handedly because you like the attention. I don't got time to go down that road this morning. But what I'm trying to teach you this morning is choices don't just reveal your future. They create your future. You don't drift into destiny. You decide your way into destiny. Next week when we talk about the moment for Hope City, what we're going to change some things and rearrange how we do some things here at the church. It's all because we can't just coast our way into our future. Stop believing the lie that if it's God's will, it will just automatically happen for you. He's told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations and baptize them. Now, they could have just sat back and said, well, he's Jesus. I mean, he raised himself up from the grave. If he wants the whole world to know about him, then we'll watch. No, he gave him the Great Commission, which means the burden is on your shoulders to get up and do what God's called you and asked you to do. It will not automatically happen in your life. You don't drift into destiny. You decide your way into it. old preacher by the name of Zig Ziglar. Some of you might remember him, but he says this. He says, your life is a result of the choices you've made. If you don't like your life, start making better choices. To quote a better man, Deuteronomy 30:19, oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. He said, life and death has been set before you. And then he stands in front of you and says, oh, that you would make the right choice. Everybody say choice. Oh, that you would make the right choice. A few years ago, we did a teaching about culture where I talked a lot about one of God's greatest gifts in love is the power to choose. And we can follow that the whole way back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were in the garden, and he loved them so much that if he did not give them the power of choice, the power to choose him, like why would God have to put a tree in the middle of the garden and tell him not to touch it? Why? Set him up to fail? No, because if he didn't give them the power to choose, then it couldn't truly be a love relationship between God and his people because they had no choice but to love him. So he said, I set a choice in front of you. I set a choice. And when you choose wrong, God honors your choice. That's why I tell people, listen, quit freaking out about what the world does. Quit protesting and screaming that this is wrong. Listen, God gave them a choice. Now, if the church hasn't done its job and told them that there is another choice, that falls on us, not on him. That falls on a silent church who refuses to engage a dying culture around them. But he loved him so much that he said, I've set before you life and I've set before you death. And whatever you choose, that's what you will have because I love you that much. That he says, I'll give you the power to choose. I believe that most of our prayers, and please hear my heart on this. Nobody storm out because you're mad. Most of our prayers are simply pushing our choice on God. And maybe I worded that wrong, but often we've made the wrong choice and are reaping the harvest of that in our life. And now we're asking God to bless our wrong choice. And God said, I gave you the power to choose. You want a better life? Choose, make wise decisions, choose it. You want better relationships? Quit being bitter and angry and unforgiving. Choose a better life, choose better relationships. You be the first to apologize. You be the one to serve other people. And here you are, God, I ask that you restore that relationship. I ask that, you know, and God said, choose it. Lord, in my finances, I pray that you break through. God says, choose it. Choose a budget. Say no and watch what I do. Come on. Spiritual maturity looks like owning your direction and not blaming your history. Owning your direction and not blaming your history. Now, I have an illustration for this next part, and I tried to wrap my brain around who I would ask, and I thought, well, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I wanted to ask somebody to come up and do a bunch of push-ups for us on the stage, and I thought, well, should I just do it myself? But I've decided very quickly against that. But just picture somebody on the stage doing a bunch of push-ups, right? Here's the thing about that. Watching somebody else do push-ups doesn't make you stronger. Like, I will spend a good part of my Saturday watching HGTV, watching those weekend warriors, thinking about my projects. But watching them didn't benefit me at all. Anybody else in the room with me? Like wives who send your husband 50 different dinner ideas and choices, but you still come home to the same meatloaf that we've had for the 6 years. I'm not talking about my house. I'm talking about somebody else's house. We have all kinds of wonderful meals. But my point is, sending the meal idea doesn't change anything. Watching the remodel doesn't change anything. Watching somebody else do push-ups doesn't change anything. What I'm trying to say is growth can't be delegated. Growth has to be chosen. No one else can build your character. Nobody else can develop your discipline. No one else can fuel your faith. Others can cheer you on, and that's great, but transformation is personal. God has given you potential, but potential must be activated. And it won't work unless you work it. Come on, I know you thought I was off for 4 weeks and was gonna come Holy Ghost you down. But here's what God's been just teaching me, is that, listen, spiritual responsibility is on you. No one else can sow your seed. No one else can fight your battle. No one else can build your life but you. And here's what I'm saying collectively as a church. No one else can move this church forward but us. No one else can win the souls that God has assigned for this house but us. No one else can do it but you and me. So stop obsessing over the secret things. Obsessing over that will only create bitterness, distraction. It's like trying to plow a field while you're looking backward. Focusing on the secret things robs you of what has already been revealed. And freedom comes when you say, I don't understand, but I still trust. So if we are living in this moment, the choices and the seeds we have sown previously. And if you're sitting here today and you're saying, yeah, I wish I had a better tomorrow. Here's what I hope for tomorrow. You are, and Real Talk Kim, if you've ever listened to her, she says this a lot, and I love it. She says, you are a full-grown adult person. You grown. No one else is coming to save you. Jesus already did and gave you the chips, the tools, revealed to you what you need to move forward. Nobody else is coming to save you. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness. God said, the land is there. I'm not holding out on you. It's that you made decisions about where you are that have kept you from going where I've called you and want you to be. So we have to start making wise decisions and better decisions. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's great, but now's not a good time. Listen, farmers who wait for perfect weather to plant never plant. You don't have to wait for your life to be perfected before you start making better decisions. Maybe just being kinder to the person at the grocery store is a better decision. Don't wait for the conditions to be perfect. And team, you can come. So you might say, well, this is an interesting sermon, yeah. But over the next few weeks, as we map out the moment where God's taking us in the future, I hope it all comes full circle and you begin to understand, because I'm just getting to that place in my heart and in my faith where don't you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired? Aren't you tired of walking through the wilderness when there's a land of promise in front of you? But we will never walk into it, and you will never walk into it, and this church will never walk into it, as long as we keep trying to search the mysteries. Like, don't you remember that's what happened when they sent in the spies? A bunch of them came back and said, but there are giants. Giants in the land. Remember what they begin to say? Did God bring us out here to die? What's the purpose of all of this? How are we going to take cities? How are we going to overcome giants? And God says, those are the hidden things. Because on some cities, I'm going to call you to march around the wall 7 times and act like a complete fool. And then shout. And when you do, the walls are going to fall down in front of you. And other times, I'm going to have you just invade the city, even though they outnumber you 10-1. But I'm going to go in front of you. What I'm trying to say is, when we begin to map out and we want to understand the mysteries of how and why, God says, you've lost faith. You leave the mysteries to me. You leave the hidden things to me. And you just do what I've revealed and what I've put in front of you to do. And I believe for you and for me and for this church and for our city, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. And maybe in your life, that can represent a lot of things. Maybe in your life, it's financial breakthrough. Maybe it's healing in your body. Maybe it's unsaved loved ones coming home. Maybe it's healed relationships. Whatever that land is for you, whatever that thing in your heart is. And I'm just here to say, we're not going to get it by wishing away and saying, well, maybe. And we're not going to get it waiting for somebody to come and rescue us and, God, send an airplane to bring us into the land. No, God says, walk into the sea. And when you are obedient to walk into the sea, then I'll part it. Like, wouldn't it have been better if God said, hey, Moses, look over there, and the sea had already been parted? Wow, now I see. And God said, no, start walking. Make the decision about what I've revealed, already revealed, and I'll handle the mysteries. And it's in your life today, whatever that situation is, whatever the circumstance is, God says, I've put a choice in front of you. Choose life. Choose wisely. Choose rightly. Your life is your field. Your seed is your responsibility. And harvest is God's promise. Listen, you can't complain about the fruit you didn't get from a seed that you've never sown. Stop demanding fruit from seeds that you didn't sow. Stand to our feet. Just feel like if you're in this room today and you've never made the most important decision, and that's to surrender your life to Him. To finally come to the end of yourself and say, I'm not God. And I've sown some bad seeds and I'm reaping the harvest of that. And I'm ready to surrender my life to Him and make Him Lord of my life. The Bible says that all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And at the conclusion of that, you will be as sure for heaven as if you're already there. The Bible says that when you accept him into your heart, he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. How all of that works, I don't know, because that belongs to him. But I trust him with it. If you're in the room today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make that decision. What I'm going to ask us to do is with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I want you to stretch up your hand. And I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I just want you to acknowledge, I want to acknowledge that you're praying this prayer with us today for the first time. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, put it up. I see you. 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 Go ahead and put your hands down. If you're praying this prayer for the first time, I want you to pray it with all of your heart and believe it with all of your heart. But we're going to pray this prayer together. Come on, repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I stand before you right now. I see the fruit of my labor, and I have failed over and over again. And now I look to you, and I ask you to be my God. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me whiter than the snow. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I receive him now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And amen, and amen. Come on. And here's the thing. One decision not only changes your life, but changes your eternity. Changes your eternity. One decision in one moment plucks you out of the hand of the enemy and places you on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And you've made that decision today. Now, if you did make that decision, I want you to stop by Connections, get a free box that just helps you get started on your journey of faith, because there's a lot of decisions coming up and moving forward that you're going to need to make. We want to help you with that. And for everyone in the room together, when we leave this place, you're going to be faced with decisions. And what my encouragement is, yes, pray about those decisions, but take ownership of those prayers. Stop praying for financial breakthrough, but unwilling to make any adjustments personally. Quit praying for open doors, but you're such an introvert that you won't even talk to anybody. And God said, I can't open doors that you won't go up to and knock. Come on. Quit praying for the salvation of your family if you're unwilling to share your faith and live your life on display. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, we pray about them, but we take ownership in Jesus' mighty name. So Father, I thank you now for every person who's listening, that Father, I just pray a crop failure on seeds that have been sown in ignorance, seeds that have been sown out of confusion and irresponsibility. We just made bad decisions. And now we're seeing the effects of that. Lord, I believe by faith we can cancel crops by faith, and we call failure to them in the name of Jesus. And no seed contrary to the will of God will remain in our life. So Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, the one who's to lead, guide, and direct us, will be so prevalent this week as we begin to complain about a situation or whatever, that you would just remind us of these words, then make a decision out of it. Make a decision out of it. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.